I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast. My name is Heath, and we're doing our 2020 season preview for the Fremantle Dockers. So before we get into our predictions for 2020, we'll have a quick look back at what happened last year with them. Frio finished 13th on 9 wins, and obviously lost their coach. So 13th, 9 wins, pass or fail for Frio, where you expect it? It's low, it's got to be.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a complete fail, but it's... if fails 50%, they're probably on 65.
I feel like, I don't know where I predicted them to finish at the start of last year, so I'm just going to, you know, say that could actually be
roughly about where we thought they would be.
Yeah,
obviously not where they thought they were going to be, though.
Yeah.
Hence why they no longer have Ross Lyon as a coach. Mm. I mean, we may as well start there in the lows for Fremantle rather than the highs. Ross, I think, was he there 8-9 years?
Yeah, about that.
You do got to respect that it was a club that had zero success before he came along. You know, I think they'd played finals 2-3 years, and that's about it. Took him to a minor premiership in a grand final through his style of play. And that's probably what Frio needed. They needed a taste of success.
Yep. Well, apparently not, because... after that year, he's like, yeah, it needs a little bit of a tweak, our game plan. And that tweak, I wish you could take that one back, because that was not a good following year.
Well, I'm going to say, they went from minor premiers to, I think, fourth last or thereabouts. It turns out, you know, his system is good if you've got 18 people that are absolutely religiously following it.
Yeah.
I think we've said many times, not generally a fan of the way he coaches football, but...
mine was more the recruiting side of things. I feel like they took too many gambles instead of having a lot of safe bets. And I think they're almost a victim of being Western Australian, where they get so many players that want to come home, and they're like, it's too good to say no, but it doesn't fit the game plan they're trying to do.
Yeah. I'd say Fremantle used to be a bit of a joke when it came to the trade table, you know, with some of the things that they've done over
the
years.
They were the Gold Coast, weren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And though it's, you know, the... they passed up Andy McLeod. They gave Peter Bell away for nothing.
Yep.
You know,
and then paid him to come back.
And got him back. You know, Trent Crowe for 2 years for Luke Hodge, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that they've...
Gumbleton went there as well?
Kepler Bradley.
Bradley, that's right.
Yeah, which is funny. Yeah. But I feel like that has turned around recently. You know, the deal to get Lockie Weller... over to the Gold Coast a couple of years ago, you know, they got pick 2 or pick 3 for him. That was brilliant. And their trade night this year, or, you know, in 2020 leading up to it, was brilliant. But what are the lows did you have for season 2019 for Frio?
I kind of want to say, with the team they had, and especially the forward line they recruited, to only have, I think it was 300-point-plus games.
Yeah, they've always struggled to score.
Yeah, the biggest score was round one against North, where they scored 141 on the board.
It's a big fucking score.
It's a big fucking score. If you're a Frio supporter and you saw that round one, you'd be pretty fucking stoked. You'd be expecting big things.
That's usually 3 weeks to get that many.
Yeah, but they only got another couple, I think. One against Port, and in the return leg, Port put a fucking hurting on them and scored 110-67. In their game, they got 120, I think.
Yeah.
And they managed to just eke out 100 against one of the lower ranked teams. They just eked out 100 against Port, and then Port put a hurt on them in the return leg. They got 106 against the Giants, which is probably their best win.
Yeah.
In recent times, have they been like a notoriously high scoring team? I can't remember off the top of my
head. Never.
Yeah,
no, they had Ross Lyon as a coach.
Of course, yeah.
But having, you know, the forward line they do have now, they should be high scoring.
Well, and part of that, I think, was one of their lows is, you know, the Jesse Hogan getting over there and, you know, brought injuries with him.
Yeah.
Didn't play as many games as they would have really liked, even though he might not always be a key forward.
Now, it'd be interesting to see what the story behind that is, because obviously some personal issues, some deaths and some death scares for himself.
Yeah,
And
some party issues.
Yeah, some party issues. A lot of things to deal with as a, you know, a young adult. I don't know. I feel like I don't want to be too harsh of a judge.
But it's not just him. That's the problem. There's also Ken McCarthy.
Yeah, that's true.
Played a lot of games this year, but did struggle for form at times.
And he sat out a year just to get across there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But with guys like, you know, Walters, Brayshaw, Hill at the drop of the ball, and obviously Fife as well, they should be piling on scores.
Yeah, it should be bigger scores.
Well, they've got some very talented talls and some very talented smalls. Ballantyne as well, he can be a sneaky little shithead.
Yeah, I think for me the most disappointing part was I didn't see one player actually give Reece Conker a cuddle. Really disappointing to see.
I heard their other lows is Gold Coast only won 3 games of the year, and one of them was against Frio.
Yeah.
You're right, Josh. I mean, after their biggest score for probably, you know, since Ross Lyon was there in round one, they go out and lose to Gold Coast in round two.
Yeah.
And also, any game against West Coast is always going to be under the microscope to lose by 91 points.
Yeah. Well, the first one they did all right. I think they pushed them up in the fourth quarter.
But, I mean, they're going against the reigning Premier. Everyone expects West Coast to win. They challenged them.
Yeah,
but round 16.
Oh, 91. That's a big loss.
They're in it for the first quarter and then just...
No.
But you kicked 219.
Yeah.
I can't explain how you kicked 219 when the other team kicks 19-8.
Yeah.
Like, if it's windy conditions, then both teams should be...
I've got a feeling it was a little bit wet that second one, but it doesn't matter. It's not 219 wet.
Then you adjust to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as though they're like an Essendon where they play a bunch of games under a roof.
Yeah.
They're playing the same fucking ovals.
Okay, so we started on the lows with Frio. Where are the high points for them? And there's one glaringly obvious, and they've got the Brownlow medalist picking up his second award. An interesting one. I mean, not that he's... if you're throwing up the who's the best three players in the competition, and I mean he's in there, whichever order you put them in, you're not wrong. But he's an absolute freak of an athlete.
And they re-signed him last year, right?
Yeah. He's signed on forever.
Yeah,
so. He's not going nowhere.
I mean, look, he's such a super talent. If he said, "Oh, look, I want to move out of Frio," you'd have every AFL team, a bunch of NBL teams, and probably even an NBA team having a crack at him.
You literally couldn't put draft picks together to get him out. Mm. I mean, if you offer our next three round one picks, no one's going to say yes. It's not enough.
Shouldn't I?
He did poll a lot of votes, too, in losing sides. I think he had, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 best on grounds in a losing side. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, you know, that's umpires just look at one player, but it does say that you're sort of, you're the only one pushing the barrow, doesn't it?
Yeah. And also, I feel like umpires... maybe get a bit lazy towards the end of the match where they're like, fuck, I wasn't paying attention to who was doing the best job. I was concentrating on my job.
Well, I think that does happen to a degree. Like Gary Ablett, he won the latest one at Gold Coast.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those ones where you give him 3 votes, you're never going to be told you're wrong.
You're not wrong. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mind you, I think Fife had a fantastic season.
Oh, of course he did. Yeah. There's no one's suggesting that...
He's a contested possession magnet. He probably doesn't get enough credit for that. Depending on who you ask. If you ask a Fremantle supporter, then they will never stop telling you about it. But it's so fucking rare you get a bloke like him who can play inside, outside, and just be so clean.
He's got a great leap, too.
He's got a couple of taps couple of games.
What I do love, though, is some of the talk around Fife. Is like, oh, if you play for a Melbourne side, he'd be considered, you know, he goes under the radar. I'm like... everyone thinks he's the best player in the league.
Yeah, I'm not sure a Brownlow medalist goes under the radar.
What more could there be?
Like, statues.
Do we need to put a statue up? Anyway, I thought Walters was brilliant as well. I think there was 2 weeks in a row where he kicked the winner or kicked the sealer. Absolute clutch player. And especially when the game was on the line, everyone looked, where's Walters? What's he going to do? Mm. To have that kind of trust from your teammates and expectation, it just speaks to the talent that he's had. He's been my smoky for an All-Australian for the last 4 years, I think, and hasn't quite got there yet, but he's shown that he's certainly got the talent for it.
And I think with not enough runs on the board with the team, it's tough to pick too many of them in an All-Australian squad.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But he was absolutely brilliant, including sinking Collingwood. I mean, how can you not love him?
They're always... Gets you into the fans' hearts.
Well, he played 22 games last year too, which is the first time he strung
a whole season together.
Oh, in a little while, since 2015. But it's great to see a player like him healthy.
Yep.
Eddie Betts is the one that gets all the plaudits, but Walters is more reliable.
He's younger too, obviously. You know, he's just coming into his prime now, so you got plenty more games to come from him. And the other highlight, I think we've already covered, was round one. You know, putting 140 on the board is certainly not the Frio that we expect.
Yeah.
And their work on trade night was unbelievable. They had high picks, and they managed to finagle their way into getting three in the first 10.
Yeah, yeah.
They had academy picks as well, but
and
they still
talent,
did it.
But they're not playing finals anytime soon.
Exactly,
so.
And they were going to lose the talent regardless.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's you make the best of what's been dished out to you.
Yeah, I think that's better than trying to pick up ready-made players like they have done.
Yep.
You end up overpaying for guys like Hogan. If it turns out, then it's a genius move. But I just don't see Hogan as the player they need there.
Oh, and
I mean, he's a talented player, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but he comes with baggage. You know he's got injuries. His foot hasn't been right for 2 or 3 years. Fully fit, playing 22 games a season, he's an absolute freak.
Yeah.
You know, he is not a stay-at-home full forward. You can play him up on the wing.
And got a bit of mongrel about him as well.
He does.
Going there and,
I've seen that video.
Probably the pressure that got to it as well, because the Frio supporters got pretty excited about that. As far as they're concerned, he was a lock for all Australian.
Yeah, it was top it up. Yeah.
Yeah, as it is... Do you put him in the top five forwards?
Oh, well, you can't play yet. You know, I mean, we haven't seen enough from him.
Even if he's healthy at the moment.
Oh, if he's healthy, he can be anything. He really can be. Yeah. All right, so let's have a look at their list changes over the off season. They've had a little bit of a clean out here. We've already talked about Ross Lyon, so we can leave that one. Yeah. Ballantyne and Sanderlands both called time. Great pitches, obviously, with Ballantyne riding on Sanderlands' shoulders, walking off the ground. Ballantyne was the poster child for the player that everyone loves to hate. I'll never forget him sucking in Matty Scarlett, getting him to punch him in the face. And you're like, it's exactly what he wants you to do, and you did it.
Yep.
He had a role in that side, and he did it perfectly for the best part of 15 years.
Yeah, was he for 15 years?
Oh, I'm picking a number out of there. I don't know exactly, but it would be close to it.
He's got to be the only person who could live in Western Australia for that long and not get a tan. Not a skerrick of a tan.
Because he's a vampire. Everyone knows that. He's Eddie Munster.
Yeah.
And then Sanderlands. It's fair to say, change the way ruck work happens.
Step one, be tall.
Be 7 foot tall. When we talk about the greatest players of Fremantle's history, there's a lot of argument going on now with it's obviously Pavlich and Fife, and which one's better?
No, Fife.
100%. I'm the same. I think how many Brownlows does Fife need before he overtakes Pavlich?
Yeah.
I tell you what, Sanderlands is forgotten in that conversation.
For sure.
Not many people have dominated their position for as long as he did.
Yeah.
7 foot one and played 240 games, 250 games.
It was the point where as opposition, you just give up the ruck.
Yep.
But how heavy is he too? Because they had Spider Burton years back. I reckon I outweigh him.
I reckon Sandy would have to have 20 kilos on Spider Burton.
Easy, yeah.
You'd have to go in with a plan for Sanderlands when you played against Frio.
I remember going to one game where North played Frio. We're right up on the boundary line, and there was a boundary throw-in right in front of us.
Yeah.
And Toddy Goldstein's a big lad.
He's a big lad.
But Sandler was just monstering him. Yeah. Like, it's not often you see a ruckman of Goldstein's size get fucking manhandled.
Yeah.
And that's what happened, because Sandlands is an angry-looking motherfucker.
I saw him stumble out of a cab drunk one time. Nobody bothered trying to help him up. Couldn't do shit.
What are you going to do?
Jeez, it must have taken 5 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway, the others, they've lost Kirsten, who I thought was a good pick up for them. Didn't ask for much from him, but got his money's worth. Ed Langdon, who squeezed out a little bit, and I think he wanted to get back to Melbourne. I don't know if he's from Melbourne, but great player, and obviously one they would have rather to hang on to, but he offers a lot of creativity out of the back line.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, yeah.
And Brad Hill, who I think spent 3 seasons at Frio, won a best and fairest over there. And I think Frio got to be happy still with the Hill situation because they got him for fairly cheap. You know, he wanted to go home to WA. He got to play 3 seasons, best and fairest, like I said. Lots of highlights, improved as a player. And then when they offloaded him, geez, did they cash in.
They got plenty, yeah.
They exactly. bought low and sold high.
I mean, fair enough. He's still a loss.
Of course he is. But on field with loss. But
they get very good value out of that. And, you know,
he's a gain for 2023 or exactly. 2024.
Yeah. And I think that's what they've got to look at. Geez, if Ross Lyon actually managed to stick it out until then.
He's already sacked.
Well, if he had have managed
if
to
he had
until
have,
then,
yeah.
he would have been looking like a genius.
Yeah.
But as it is.
And,
bad luck.
And it was well publicised. And it's funny because Brett Hill's done this to 2 clubs now. He's gone, I want to go. He doesn't hide behind anything. Yeah. But this is what's going to happen. You know, let's try and do the best thing. So you can tell he must be a likeable lad. Because the club's gone, oh, well, mate, if you have to go, you know, we want you to stay, but we'll do the best for you.
But I think everyone appreciates that front-up honesty.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Mate, I just feel like moving on. Mm. Like, how many of us in our regular jobs have just said that to a boss? Like,
I'm gone.
Boss, I just want to go somewhere else. Like, you're a decent enough boss. You lie if you have to. I'm just looking for somewhere else and fuck ton more money.
I don't get to resign very often. I have a lot of companies that are very willing to pay me not to work for them.
Yeah, in fairness, not many people have resigned within 3 hours of starting a new job.
Yeah, I did one. Yeah, you're right, I did. Who else we got there? Harley Bennell. So this is a very interesting one because at the end of the day, it's a net loss because he played, I think, 3 games for them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe one of them was good. Lots of off-field stuff, but they didn't sell the farm to get him either.
Yeah.
But it's still a net loss, even though that loss is not much.
Yep.
Yeah, he was like one of my 30-leg multis.
Yeah.
You only put a couple of bucks on it. If it comes up, you're fucking rolling.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
It didn't, yeah. But again,
they only got 3 legs in.
It was worth the punt, though, right?
Oh, should you?
Yeah. It's a bit like Tigers and Chris Yaron.
Like, yeah.
Cost fuck all. Give it a go.
Actually, no, you gave away a big, big pick for Chris Yaron. I think it was a first rounder.
That's right, we did 2.
Yeah.
Fucking Chris
That's
Yaron.
Very different.
Yeah. It was similar on the back end, not on the front end.
I mean, that's pointing since Relton Roberts.
So there's quite a lot of experience out of the team there. But like we said, they went heavy in the draft this year. So their ends are Blake Akers, who's a decent player for the Saints.
I like that, actually.
Yeah, decent player. That's a good pickup.
Take some pressure off the rest of their supporting cast around 5.
Yeah, and James Aish, who Brisbane, Collingwood, now over at Frio, so at his 3rd club.
Yeah.
Still waiting for him to really kick on and be a permanent member of the best 22.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was a bloke who I really disliked for a time, and I can't say why.
Yeah.
Collingwood, yeah.
No, it was before he was at Collingwood, I think. No, when he went to Collingwood.
You said it before, like, I don't like him, and I don't know why I don't like
him. Yeah, but so, it's got to the point now where he's kind of pitiable, and I kind of feel bad for him, which, be fucking worried, lad.
Well, because he's not at Collingwood anymore either. That does.
I mean, that's yeah, as well. That
he's at Frio.
All right, let's have a look at their 2020 draw and their double ups. West Coast, obviously. They got the Bulldogs, Saints, Melbourne, and Gold Coast.
That's as good as you get.
I mean, that's as good as they could have hoped for. Saints, Bulldogs, Melbourne, all teams around the same mark, we think. Although I reckon those other three are going to, well, 2 of them at least are going to improve. More than what I expect Frio to, but Gold Coast double up, that's lovely, thank you.
Yep. I think Bulldogs are probably a class above.
Yep.
But Saints at Melbourne, Frio should be looking at splitting the difference at worst.
Yeah.
They'd hope to be doing better than that. I mean, Frio's top-end talent is better than the top-end of those guys. I mean, maybe Bont and Fife, you know, when they go against each other, they give each other a very wide berth.
Yeah.
And go pick up their kicks themselves.
But then you've got guys like, you know, McRae and...
They back deeper, no doubt.
Yeah, they definitely do.
All right, who's going to have a big year for Frio? And we can probably leave Fife and Walters out of the conversation because it's expected.
That was my low odds multi.
Exactly, they're a given. You don't need to say, you know we're going to get out of them. They stay injury free, they're laughing. So who else from Frio? Because I've got a few names.
Well, may as well start off with you.
Big Rory Lobb.
Totally forgot he was there.
Yeah, he's obviously not even going to look at Sandilands coming over his shoulder this year. Not that Sandy played much the last couple that he's been there, but he's getting to that age. You know, big fellas take a little bit longer. He's 6 or 7 years in now, so it's his time where the body's probably matured. He's used to the rough and tumble of AFL. He's got a great set of hands on him. He could absolutely rip some games apart, and I reckon he's going to really shine this year, and it'll be his year.
Yep.
May even give Fife a run for his money for best of fairest, because you know how best of fairest votings can be a bit funny at different clubs.
It's screwy.
Well, it'll be great to see Tim Kelly. Unfortunately, he was not going to be there.
Well, he'll play against them twice.
Yeah. But I think Matera, actually.
Brandon Matera, been there a couple of years now.
Yeah. He was the second highest goal scorer with 30. Only he and Walters got over 20 goals for the season.
Yep.
So, I mean, they need something from him, but they need a lot more others to step up.
I was going to say, a tall target would be nice, but yeah, that shows you the two main goal kickers were both, you know, sub 5'10".
Yeah,
yeah, and they combined for 70 goals, which if your little brigade's doing that,
not bad.
Fucking loving life.
The problem is that's their big brigade as well.
Yeah,
I'm going with Connor Blakely. This is his fifth year, I believe, at Frio.
Let's go close, yeah.
About there, 23 years old, showing lots of promise, and now he's got a bit of a supporting cast around to really build a proper unit there. He's midfielder, played defending most of the year. Well, he was injured for a little bit, but I think now they've got Aish, he can probably take that backline spot. Then, freeze him up to be a multi-position player.
They have got a lot of players around his like.
Yeah,
you know, it reminds me actually of North Melbourne a few years ago when they had Cunnington and Bastanac and those other players. And you're like, all right, you're all fair to middling players. Who's going to kick on?
Yeah, exactly.
And some do.
Yeah.
Some don't. He's at that stage now. We go, all right, we want you to be, you know, an A grader.
Yeah. And I'd like him to be able to have that freedom to get out of the back line a little bit.
Yeah.
I think with those recruits, it really frees him up to, show what he can do off his own talent.
And so they're the big years. Who's in trouble? Who's on the outer at Fremantle this year?
Well, I can definitely tell you who's fucked. That is Isaiah Butters. Is he still there?
But I didn't even know they had an Isaiah Butters.
That's me.
There's a Butters that plays at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, well, you'll find out if you go to the Frio Facebook page and click on his...
So he's a rookie, is he?
Click on his page. It's deleted. So, right there, I don't know if he's been told yet, but he's in big trouble.
Let's start conspiracy theories about that one. I've put Stephen Hill down because injuries are starting to catch up to him, and they're the wrong kind of injuries too, you know, the calf strains and that.
Yep.
I'm not sure how many games he played last year. Josh, you got it there?
Who's that?
Stephen Hill.
I do. Played 11.
The number is really what I'm after.
He played three.
Three games, yeah. There you go. And there were talk that he might be offloaded, but at the age of 30 and without many runs on the board in that season, being injured so often, it's hard to get value for what he means to the side.
Well, that's just it. For a bloke like him to uproot where he is and everything, you need to offer him overs if you're the acquiring team. But you're not going to. You'll offer a fourth rounder at best.
But really, if he has another season where he's only fit for three games, what are you doing? I mean, you need leaders around the club, but they lost a lot of senior players in Ballantyne and Sandilands and his younger brother Brad as well. But you've got to ask, you know, where we've got all these young players now. Where's the point where it's leadership, and where's the point where you're just filling a spot in the side, mate?
But with Hill, I feel like he's a phenomenal talent, but he's an innate talent. Like what he does other players can't learn as much as...
A little bit. And that's said about the Indigenous boys a lot, too.
Oh, I mean, say about a lot of players, just yeah. freaky shit. But I don't really see a lot of his on-field leadership. I mean, it's completely different inside the team.
Yeah.
Well, right now, even if Hill's fully fit, Walters is the man you're looking for.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, he's going to play more up on the wing and try to be that moving the ball through to get it up to Walters. But regardless of whatever happens, he'll always have that goal against Geelong in the final.
Yep.
Running on, Sandy taps it down to him, takes three bounces and kicks the winner in that final game. I also put Cam McCarthy down as my chopping list because obviously a lot of effort to get him over there. And I think he's kicked a couple of bags of four or five, but there are times where things are going well.
Yeah.
And when things are going hard, I don't know if he's had that kind of return.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And, you know, you got Jesse Hogan up there, you got Rory Lobb, and I think they've got a couple of other tools that they're looking, you know, at as goal-kicking options. Your Smalls are doing their work for him. You might go, you know what, you've got value now to get rid of you.
Yeah.
But the problem is he sat out an entire year to get home to WA. Yep. I mean, is he the West Coast or nowhere?
Yeah, it could be. You
might limit your own options.
Most valuable waffle players they've got.
He kicked five in round one, yep. And he kicked another 14 over the next, how many games? 11 rounds.
Yeah.
So you're averaging...
A little more than one a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in that team.
And it's nice to kick five goals when you win by 20 or whatever it was.
They won by 90 or almost 80. Yeah,
lots. You're sitting on top of the ladder after round one. All right, so... after all that doom and gloom, where do you see them finishing on the ladder, Josh?
I'm actually pretty optimistic.
Pretty optimistic. Just a quick reminder, picked Port Adelaide for the minor premiers last year. So where have you got them finishing, Freo finishing this year?
To be fair, the jury's still out on that one. I think there was some steroid abuse in other teams. I've got them finishing fifth. So I think they can pull it all together.
So that's up from 13th. That's a big, big jump.
Yeah, all they need is to keep everyone on the park. Stephen Hill should pay 22.
I think they need more than that.
I think they need to keep some other players off the park. Brenton, where you got them finishing?
I have them finishing a very unrespectable 17th, actually.
So dropping down.
Yeah.
And it's Longmuir's first year as a coach as well. He didn't have a caretaker's role because I think David Hale coached them for round 23 and that was it last year.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't really have a lot of optimism about the season.
Did he apply for the big gig?
Hale?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think they had a hat that could fit him. I've got him 13th, which is exactly the same as they were this year.
We've got them all over the shop.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've got them good, bad, and the ugly, as Josh said before. They've lost too much talent, and I don't think they've really bolstered where they need to. They've gone heavy on youth, obviously, and they've gone really big in the last draft. Those guys are not going to be... solid enough all year to really challenge for finals, I think.
I think I'm just gearing around them not having to play the lockdown Ross Lyon style.
It might free them up, yeah.
Yeah, or I was completely fucking drunk when I did this.
And those two are not mutually exclusive.
No, yeah. Bocalonos Dos or some shit.
All right, that'll do us for Freo.
Yeah, good luck.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.